Morning, guys. Morning, Grant. Nice to see you, brother. Come on. Yes, it's not informational. I got that early on, so I had 6 pages. I mean, I was going to go through them pretty quickly, through 6 pages, but now I've had to leave 3 behind because they just don't count at the moment. So we're going to start here right in the top. But, you know, what the Lord's been speaking to me about lately is warfare, that we are in a war. And he wants us to be aware of that, that the enemy, his job is to steal, kill, and destroy, and to suppress us, to oppress us, to depress us, and to keep us from being ministers of the gospel, to keep us from shining for him, to keep us from having joy. And so that's been on my heart for a while. And just recently, as I was a couple of weeks ago, actually, I was praying to the Lord, and I was really asking the Lord for power. Now, I was really asking the Lord for power, so when I pray for people, that they can be healed. So that when I pray for people that are depressed, they can come into a place of freedom. And when I pray for people, if they actually literally have some ailment, that they can be set free of that ailment. And I was really had that desire. You know, it says in the Bible that God gives you the desires of your heart when you delight yourself in him. And that was my desire. And I was praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, even if I preach the gospel, I really want people not just to listen to the word, but that it'll convict them and cut deep, and that they'll be saved, and that they will turn, and that they will see heaven, but they will also see hell, and that they will turn to you, God. And as I lay hands on people, Lord, that they will be made whole. And I felt the Lord say to me, just in that moment, you will lay hands on the sick, and they will be healed. And so that's my scripture this morning, that you will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. And I think it's a muscle that the Lord is wanting us to exercise again. Spin that plate, that we exercise that muscle of prayer, of laying hands on the sick. Recently it was on discipleship. And I must say the guys are doing well as I've been meeting with different guys. And even my discipleship has become a little bit better. I'm meeting more with guys because the Lord, that was a muscle that the Lord had to tweak. I stopped at the robots down the road the other day, and there's a homeless guy that he's been coming to this church. And I opened my window and I greeted him, and he said to me, hey, discipleship is very important. So the word is ministering to the people. But I was really crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, yo, man, come on, I want to make a difference as a Christian. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick. I want to be able to preach to people, and you do something, Lord. I really want to see your power, but it's from a place of I want to see people whole. And he said, you will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. And I think that's a muscle that the Lord wants to work in us this morning. Amen? Amen. And so I thought, where is that scripture? Let me Google it. And it's one of the great commissions. There are great commissions in all 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. And the commission is really when you are sent to accomplish something. And Jesus spoke to his disciples and to us in all 4 Gospels and the book of Acts about sending us and us accomplishing something. And he's given us his Holy Spirit, and he's given us the authority to do that. In Matthew, it was make disciples. In Luke, it is preach the gospel. Speak about the results of not receiving Jesus and the consequences. And in John, the things that God sent me to do, Jesus said, I'm sending you to do. As God sent Jesus saying, as he has sent me to lay hands on the sick, I'm sending you. As he has sent me to preach the gospel, I'm sending you. As he has sent me to command demons to leave, so I'm sending you to do that. So I looked up the scripture, and it's in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. I wanted to read the whole portion of this commission. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. To all those that believe. In other words, to all those that put their faith in Jesus. That's you and me this morning. If you put your faith in Christ, and if you're a child of God, then this is what you will do. You will lay your hands on the sick, and they will be healed. In verse 19 it says, "So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs." But that's the verse. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. And so I just couldn't resist. I had to go look up that word sick in the Greek. And it's arostos, if that's the right pronunciation. Nick, arostos. It means infirm, more or less. It means infirm. And it's not just a physical sickness. It speaks of mental. It can be a mental, it can be an addiction. It can be a suppression, or it can be an oppression of your mind. It could be an insecurity or an anxiety. It could be a moral weakness or a bad habit, an infirmity. Not just something that is physical. So just, I want to share just as an example. There was a guy that Sean and Karen Murr introduced me to a while back. And very like stand-up gentleman, well-spoken. Doesn't look like he does anything wrong. Very nice guy. And I went to his house one day. We did some business and he was limping. So I said to him, "What happened to your knee?" I mean, he said, "No, well, I was in an accident. And I'm in a lot of pain." So I said, "Well, I'd like to pray for you." You know, I didn't feel any anointing or any power, but I thought, let me just, by faith now, pray for this guy. And so I prayed for him, and then I left. And he sent me a message the next day, or the following day, and he said, "Declan, it's amazing. Yesterday I couldn't walk. I could hardly walk. But today I ran a 5-kilometer race against the wind in under 30 minutes. Your prayer literally worked a miracle." So I'm like, "Thank you, Jesus. Look what you've done." So his faith began to rise up. And I'm going to read something. And then when I spoke to him again, he said to me, "Declan, actually, I'm suffering with alcoholism." And I had no idea at all. So I let him listen to my testimony. He says, "I watched it. There's surely hope for me. God is great. I pray that I will be used by God when I'm changed. My son turns 6 in 2 weeks, and I don't want him to have a dad that drinks." Oh, and I remember just being on drugs for so many years, and my daughter had a father that did drugs. Jesus, my heart just went out to this poor guy. He says, "I've missed so much of his life. I afforded it all because I'm a functional alcoholic. I want to be in his life." And so I prayed for him, and just a prayer of faith, and said, "Lord, if there's anything, any demonic influence in this man's life, Lord, would you remove it? And even now, I command that thing to go in the name of Jesus." And I said to this guy, "You know what, my friend? Sometimes it's a process. Even as I pray for you now, sometimes it is a process with the things that we battle with in our lives. And sometimes it takes years. For me, 5 years in this church, I was on drugs. And eventually, after 5 years, the Lord set me free. But in the meantime, I had to hang on. I had no choice. I had to hang on." So I said to him, "But let's pray now and we see what happens. It might be a process. It might be now." And I prayed for him and I left. And I hadn't seen him for 2 months. And 2 months later, I was a bit concerned about him. And I called him. I said to him, "I'd love to have a coffee with you and just chat. Because I'm thinking of him. I'm thinking of his little boy. And I'm thinking of his alcoholism." And he sends me a message back. And he says, "I'm very well, brother. I'm busy this weekend. I have some awesome news. God helped me since you prayed for me. I 100% quit drinking. Last time I touched alcohol was last year. I was delivered immediately, bro. I'm still in shock." I was like, "Yeah, come on, somebody." And I'm like, "I was in shock too." No, but there was a doubt in me. But actually, Jesus touched him. It was just a prayer of faith. Now, that one is an ailment that is physical, and the other one is a mental one. He was addicted. And Jesus came, and he set that man free. Because when we are willing to pray for people, God is going to do something. Amen? But the three things that are in this, the three things that I really feel that the enemy is wanting to nail us with, and what he does nail with us when I was preparing this and when I was praying to the Lord, is repression, depression, and oppression. I want to talk about those three things. And then, actually, I want us to pray about those things. And this, I think this teaching and this equipping, in a sense, that the Lord is doing, is so that we will pray for people, but we will also pray for one another by faith. And we will lay hands on the sick, and we will pray for them, because He has called us to do that. And He has given us the authority, He has given us the mandate and the power. So it's repression, depression, and oppression. I'm going to start with repression. To forcefully prevent an upheaval from developing further, or to forcefully prevent a riot from developing further. And I want to tell you that in some of us, there's a Holy Spirit riot going on there. In some of us, that, you know, God has given us a fire. He has given us His Holy Spirit. And He's looking for people like you and me to be zealous for Him, to be outspoken, to preach the gospel. But the enemy does come, and he will put a fear on us and intimidate us, and he will repress us to keep that down. I'm reminded of God's people all throughout the Old Testament, how they were repressed. They came under repression. In the book of Judges, there was a man named Gideon. And the Lord came to Gideon and said, I'm going to use you. I'm going to put my spirit on you, and I'm going to use you to help you get my people into a place of victory. And he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take 300 men against 135,000 Midianites. I mean, 450 to 1. It's not bad. And doesn't that feel like it sometimes when the enemy's on your case throughout some weeks and some days? There's just so many of them. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you a clue how to do that. I want you to go down into the valley. Not on the mountain, but I want you to go down into the valley where it's difficult. And there you are going to hear what the enemy has to say. I'm going to speak through them. And he heard what he had to do to overcome the enemy. And so the Lord said, I want you to take those 300 men. And I want you to take jars of clay. And I want you to put a fire in it. And hide it there. And then at the right time, when you're close to the enemy, I want you to break that jar open so that the light can shine. And when they did that, 135,000 Midianites got confused. There was confusion in the enemy's camp, and they began to kill each other and wipe each other out. And it says in the New Testament that we have these jars of clay. First and Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 7, but we have these jars of clay. And in those jars of clay is the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. There's a light in you that the Lord wants to get out. There's a little song, that little light in you. The Lord wants to get that out. Matthew 5:16. It speaks of, let your light shine before men so that they can see your good works and bring glory to your Father in heaven. There's a light in you that the enemy is trying to suppress, to keep you from being vocal, to keep you from preaching the gospel, to keep you from laying hands on the sick, to keep you from getting out some hallelujahs there and some, come on, make some noise. But that is the repression, to prevent an upheaval, to prevent fire from coming out of you. The Lord wants that fire to come out. He wants that zeal and that passion to come out. And the enemy would not have that. He wants to keep you suppressed, because he knows that as you do these things, it's like warfare against his kingdom. We are in a war. Whenever you preach the gospel and people get saved, the kingdom of darkness diminishes. It gets smaller. It gets attacked. And we are called to be attackers. We are called to wage warfare. Somebody asked me the other day and said, what does it look like to wage warfare? So I said, well, you preach the gospel. You pray for people. When Jesus came, he prayed for people. They got set free. Demonic entities left people. People heard the word and they got saved. And Satan was like, sure, my kingdom is decreasing. This kingdom of light is increasing. And the Lord is looking for people that are willing to break open that jar of clay and let that light shine for him. Amen? And so that's one of the things we are going to pray about just now, that the Lord would come by his spirit, and he would put his spirit on us in a great measure, and that we would be those people that let our light shine. Amen? Okay. The second thing I want to say that the enemy uses against us and tries to put on us in our minds is depression. Depression. So I remember when I just got saved, I went into this men's home. I was in a Christian men's home. I was saved just a few weeks, and I was just really on fire for the Lord. And we used to get together in the mornings for 45 minutes before breakfast, and we had to pray for 45 minutes in the big room, music blaring there, praise music, and just cry out to the Lord. It was crazy. And there was this one friend of mine, Leslie. He was always walking around so depressed. He was a tall guy, quite a lanky guy, and he used to walk around with his little Bible case. And he looked quite funny. And he came to me the one day, and he said, "Dex, oh, I'm so depressed, and I don't know what's going on." I said, "Well, let's pray." And I prayed for him in the name of Jesus. I was just going crazy, you know what I mean? Just experienced the Lord, and I was just like going wild there, in the name of Jesus, and Lord, touch him. And afterwards, he was, "Dex, I feel different. Something has happened. There's been a shift." And I mean, I was just saved a couple of weeks. And the Lord's not looking for people that are overly mature or leaders or elders, but he's looking for saints like you and me, looking for people that are willing to lay hands on people that are depressed. Amen? So just in the week, I met with someone and we had a coffee at a restaurant like setting. And he was also telling me about depression. So I said to him, "Well, you know what, let's pray." But first we spoke about the word. And it says that as we preach the word, signs will accompany. So I thought, oh, well, here we go. Let's preach the word and then let's pray. And we prayed together. And he sent me a message later on. And he said to me, "Declan, thank you so much for the time and for the prayer." And I was also very grateful for the time and the prayer, because what an amazing man. Privileged to name. And he said to me, "After you prayed for me, I felt the Holy Spirit with me. And I felt a shift in me." And I said, "Praise God. Amen." So I'm going to bring that to church and share it with the people so that their faith will be increased. So I'm sharing that with you because that's what we are called to do. We are called to lay hands on the sick and that people won't be depressed. And some things are a process. Sometimes you need medication, sometimes you need a pill, and then sometimes you just need the gospel. I mean, you need prayer. You need someone to lay hands on you, you know, and trust the Lord for his Holy Spirit. Depression is a state of mind producing serious long-term lowering of enjoyment of life. A long-term lowering of enjoyment of life or inability to visualize a happy future. Inability to visualize a happy future. I'm telling you, most days I wake up and I'm not in a hallelujah space. Most mornings when I wake up, I don't know, there's a cloud, sometimes there's this cloud of darkness on me. And I have to fight to get it off. I have to go downstairs and have my coffee and pray. But I have to really fight to get it off. Because sometimes I feel depressed. Sometimes I feel repressed, like the enemy wants me to keep quiet. And it's him. Sometimes I'm in an elders meeting and it's like I'm too... He doesn't want me. And that's the enemy. And sometimes you'll be in community and you don't want to say anything because... And the enemy's keeping you repressed. And depressed. But I want to say that we have the Holy Spirit, man. When it comes to the next one, is oppression. Oppression. That is the third one. How are we doing for time, Nick? Okay, thanks, man. I was going to joke and say, it doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter. Good, huh? Thanks. Ten more. Thank you. How dare you? I said I wasn't going to joke a lot. Sure. Okay, oppression. The exercise, now this is the tactic of the enemy. Now a lot we hear about in the book of Judges and even in the time of the Exodus when the people came out of, God delivered them out of Egypt. He delivered them out of Egypt, just like he's delivered us out of a spiritual Egypt. Out of a land of slavery, and he's brought us through the desert and through the wilderness into the promised land. And the enemy has used this old tactic from the very first judge. There were 12 judges, and then there was the kings. But he used oppression. And oppression is the exercise of authority or power in a burdensome, cruel, or unjust manner. That is the devil, who doesn't like you very much. It's the exercise of authority or power in a burdensome, cruel, or unjust manner. And he's got a certain power, and he's got a certain authority. He's been given authority. He tempted Jesus and said, all authority has been given to me, but if you bow down to me, I'll give you this authority. But the hope is, great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But that is what the enemy did to God's people. And as they came into the promised land, the Lord said, I'm going to leave these nations behind. In Exodus chapter 3. From verse 1 to 2. Now these are the nations that the Lord left to test Israel by them. That is all in Israel who had not experienced all the wars in Canaan. It was only in order that the generations of people of Israel might know war, to teach war to those who had not known it before. They didn't know how to wage war. And I believe that this is a weapon that the Lord is giving us, the weapon of prayer, to wage war against the oppressor. So when they came under oppression, the first judge that the Lord raised up was Othniel. He was the very first judge of Israel. And it says that the Spirit of God was on him, and he led the people into victory because the Spirit of God was on him. And when Jesus came in the New Testament, he said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And he said, but I'm going to go to the Father. I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit for you. And so the things that I've done, you must do. Amen? And so the Lord allowed the enemy, and even with us, the Lord will allow the enemy close by, even to attack us. But it'll be to test us. Will we do what the Word says? What His Word says? And then also, will we learn to wage war? And not just, we are not called to just sit back and receive from the devil, because he does give. He does dish out. We are not called to just receive, but actually we are called to stand up and fight and to wage war and to pray for people and to lay hands on the sick that they will be healed. And that is how we actually attack the devil. That is how his kingdom diminishes. Amen? It says in 1 John 3, 8, but the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy. And our job, in a sense, is to destroy the works of the devil. Is to come against those works, with the works that the Lord has given us. And one of them being prayer, that we will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. It's not our job to take the devil out. Now that's God's job. In the end, it says that the devil will be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, and the smoke of his torment rises day and night forever and ever. But on that day, we want to be able to say, Lord, I was in the battle. I wasn't complacent. I played my part. I waged the warfare that you called me to. I laid hands on the sick. I prayed for the repressed and the depressed. And the oppressed, Lord. And I want to say that when the enemy comes to oppress you, there's an action that we can take. It's not to just receive it, but there's an action we take and we do something about it. And so even as we go into a time of ministry, now maybe the worship team can come up. That'll be great.